Luke 5. And it came to pass, as the crowd pressed on him to hear the word of God, that he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen, having come down from them, were washing their nets. And getting into one of the ships, which was Simon's, he asked him to draw out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the crowds out of the ship. But when he ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Draw out into the deep water, and let down your nets for a haul." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, having laboured the whole night, we have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And having done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke, and they beckoned to their partners who were in the other ship to come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they were sinking. But Simon Peter, seeing it, fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord." For astonishment had laid hold on him and on all those who were with him at the haul of fishes which they had taken. And in like manner also on James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, henceforth thou shalt be catching men." And having run the ships on shore, leaving all, they followed him. Matthew 14, verse 23. And having dismissed the crowds, he went up into the mountain to pray. And when even was come, he was alone there. But the ship was already in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. But in the fourth watch of the night, he went off to them, walking on the sea. And the disciples, seeing him walking on the sea, were troubled, seeing it as an apparition. And they cried out through fear. But Jesus immediately spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter, answering him, said, "Lord, if it be thou, command me to come to thee upon the waters." And he said, "Come." And Peter, having descended from the ship, walked upon the waters to go to Jesus. But seeing the wind strong, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught hold of him, and says to him, "O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt?" And when they had gone up into the ship, the wind fell, and so on. John 6 and verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went away back and walked no more with him. Jesus therefore said to the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast words of life eternal, and we have believed and known that thou art the Holy One of God." Luke 22, verse 55. And Peter followed afar off, and they, having lit a fire in the midst of the court, sat down together. Peter sat among them, and a certain maid, having seen him sitting by the light, and having fixed her eyes upon him, said, "And this man was with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a short time, another seeing him said, "And thou art of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after a lapse of about 1 hour, another stoutly maintained it, saying, "In truth, this man also was with him, for he also, he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he was yet speaking, the cock crew. And the Lord, turning round, looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter, going out without, wept bitterly. Finally, in John 21, verse 15. When therefore they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He says to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee." He says to him, "Feed my lambs." He says to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He says to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee." He says to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, art thou attached to me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, art thou attached to me? He said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am attached to thee. Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. I was thinking, Brethren, of another aspect that is vital to Christian life, and that is communion with the Lord Jesus. I wonder where we all are in relation to the Lord. I wonder how up to date our links with the Lord are. I wonder if everyone here has a living link with the Lord Jesus, because any experience with the Lord begins with coming to trust him as a saviour. But you know, in our Christian pathways, there are times when we're very close to the Lord, and there are times when we get away from the Lord. Anybody, I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But you know, the Lord wants the closest walk with you. He's available for the closest walk with you. And actually, you're as close to the Lord as you want to be, because it's open to every one of us, a close walk with the Lord Jesus. And you know, it's a vital thing for a Christian to make way for the Lord in his life and to have communion with the Lord. Now, I've read of Peter in various circumstances. We know that John was closer to the Lord than Peter was, and Peter recognised that. John had a unique place in the bosom of Christ, and as a result, he had a unique impression of the glory of Christ. And if you're if you want to study the glory of Christ, John's one of the places to go, because it's remarkable, his impression of that glory. Mm-hmm. But Peter is perhaps more like us, and I very loath to put myself alongside Peter, because he was a great servant of the Lord, and he had great love for the Lord. That comes out in the scriptures that we read, and I'm challenged in my own heart as to how strong my love for the Lord is. And I'd like to challenge hearts here tonight. If you've come to know the Lord as a saviour, and that's a wonderful thing, then have you committed your life to him? Have you surrendered completely to Christ? There's more to surrendering to Christ than coming to know him as a saviour. That's a wonderful thing. But have you surrendered your life to Christ? That's a question that you should answer. That's what he wants. He wants a close walk with you. He wants you to be dependent on him every step of the way. He said to Joshua, God said to Joshua, I will not leave you, nor will I forsake you. There's nobody could make that claim to you except the Lord Jesus. Nobody. He's never failed one of his own. We've all been unfaithful, haven't we? We've all denied the Lord, but he's never failed us, never once. He remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Wouldn't you like to know a friend like that? Oh Jesus, friend unfailing, how dear art thou to me. Is that true of everyone here come to know the Lord Jesus. The first scripture we read, you know, Peter is the first person in scripture to be convicted of sin in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And you know, he says, depart from me. He was so full of his own unworthiness and sinfulness in the presence of one so great that he said, depart from me. Did the Lord ever depart from him? Never. Never once. He supported him. He prayed for him. He helped him. He saved him from drowning. He just looked at him. But he never departed from him. You know, and Peter had a long life. He had a long life. When thou art old, the Lord said to him, when thou art old. But you know, Peter was a self-confident man. Self-confidence. And, you know, he would be good at his job. He was a fisherman. He would be good at it. And, you know, the fish, they come in to the shore during the day and they go out to deep water at night. So no point in doing what the Lord said. There's no point. It doesn't make sense. But at thy word, I'll do it. He goes and he puts the net down. And there it is, the haul of fishes. I know there's a lot of dispensational bearing on this. The Christianity's coming in and it couldn't be contained by Judaism. The net breaks. This is a lesson that Peter would learn. But you know, he would learn right at the start that he had to surrender to the word of Christ. And so he says, depart from me. But he clings to the Lord, doesn't he? He falls at his knees. He clings to the Lord. Well, your thing it is, you know, to be convicted of your need of a Saviour and to come to Christ. You know, these persons that brought that woman who was caught in adultery, they went out from the presence of the Lord convicted of sin. What a solemn thing that is. They could have all got the blessing. The Lord stooped down and rolled on the ground. And when he came up, the woman was standing there. Where are those thine accusers? Has no one condemned thee? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. They could all have heard these words, but they left the presence of the one that could have saved them. Though convicted of sin, Peter never did that. He committed his life to Christ. He went away from a successful business. They'd never had a catch like this before. And he went away and left it. The power of attraction of Christ, you know, left all and followed me. He reminded the Lord of that later, you know. What of us? The Lord was appreciated what these disciples did, you know, in leaving him. And let me tell you that every sacrifice made for the Lord will be amply rewarded. You know, there was a lot to learn. Peter had a lot to learn, and all of us have a lot to learn. But the first thing is to put your faith and trust in this wonderful Saviour. Well, in Matthew 14, there's a storm. And you know, the Lord may use storms in our lives to bring us to himself. There's scarcely anyone in this room who doesn't know something about that, you know. There are things that can happen in a Christian's life, in a believer's life, that draw him to the Lord in a way that he would not otherwise have known. In a way that you can prove his love through deep exercise. I think as I look round this room, I can see people, persons who have proved that, how the Lord can sustain and how he can draw you to himself through exercises. And you know, it's wonderful to experience that. To know his love in a way that you might never have known it otherwise. But anyway, there's a storm here, and the Lord's not in the boat, but he's coming, walking upon the water. He's not uncaring. He's mindful of his own, you know. But he says, fear not, it is I. Fear not. He's coming to them. And Peter, you know, says, if it be thou, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. You know, the Lord, Peter's desire was always to be with the Lord. And in this instance, he has to get out of the boat. Come, the Lord says, just come. People speak about a comfort zone. That's what Peter was in, you know. That's what they were all in a sense. They were in a comfort zone. But he had to get out of that comfort zone to get to the Lord. And he would prove in this exercise that if he was going to serve the Lord, it would only be through complete dependence upon him. Peter actually walked on the water. None of the other disciples did that. He actually stepped out of that boat and walked on the water. Well, you see, his faith filled him. Well, he got his eye off the Lord. And who of us haven't got our eye off the Lord? But he calls out, Lord, save me. And the Lord stretches out his hand and draws him to himself. You know, he was with Peter. Peter had the faith in the Lord to step out of that boat. And you say, well, I can't do this. I'm not able to do that. If the Lord wants you to do something, he'll give you the strength and he'll support you. None of us are able for any service for the Lord. But the power is not in here. The power is in the Lord himself. And Peter would learn that as he stepped out of that boat. He was in a completely unnatural situation. How could he walk upon the water? Only in the power of Christ. And you know, maybe you feel that the Lord wants you to do something. Make yourself available to the Lord, dear friend, dear young friend. Make yourself available and be ready to do what he asks you, because he'll give you the power and he'll give you the strength. Self-confidence was one thing that was in Peter's heart, and he had to learn that that was no good in the service of the Lord. So he gets out of the boat to go to Jesus. You know, what an experience this was. He would have to learn to be completely dependent on the Lord. To whom shall we go? Peter answers the Lord in John 6. You know, this is strong ministry in John 6. Strong ministry that the Lord's teaching. And there's many not able for it. You know, it doesn't appeal to the flesh. What the Lord was teaching in John 6 is abhorrent to the flesh. He said, you must feed in my flesh. That is the source of supply and blessing and food for the believer, is feeding on Christ. And many couldn't accept the word. And they said, Lord said to them, will you also go away? Will you also go away? Who speaks first? Peter. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? It was the power of attraction of Christ that made him say that. For he believed and known that thou art the Holy One of God. Thou hast words of life eternal. Oh dear believer, what is going to hold you here until Christ comes? Is it not the power of attraction that we find in himself? Who has words like the Lord Jesus? Who is a friend like the Lord Jesus? Let us commit our lives to Christ. You know, I think there's been too much emphasis in our gatherings on the meeting. The meeting. The meeting is the most important thing. Come to the meeting. That's the most vital thing. No, the most vital thing is your individual link with the Lord. That's what's the most vital thing. We cannot be together collectively what we are not individually. Your link with the Lord is vital. And that's why I think if we all came together in our local settings as those who are on fire for the Lord, what kind of places would these meetings be, you know? To whom shall we go? It was the power of attractiveness that he saw in Christ. That's what held them. That's what held all of them. You know, the Lord made no mistakes in choosing Judas. He goes on to speak of it here. Who was going to keep Judas with the disciples for 3.5 years? What would keep that man on that pathway? He had no love for the Lord. He was a thief. The Lord gave him the bag. Gave him the money. That's what kept Judas with the disciples. He stole out of the bag. That's what kept him there right to the end, until he was betrayed the Lord. What kept the rest of them was their love for Jesus. What will keep you and I on the pathway? It's the strength of love for Jesus. Let us turn away from the world's things. The place where Christ was crucified. Let us turn away. Let us look off unto our leader and completer of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, awaiting his Son from the heavens. How strong and how up to date is that link with the Lord? To whom shall we go? If you have a mind to go away, make sure it's to the Lord. To the Lord. Not following your own will. It's very solemn. I spoke to someone recently who freely admits that he's left following his own will. He wants to do his own thing. He wants to follow his own path. He's a believer in the Lord Jesus, but he wants to follow his own path. I said, be very, very careful. You may get away and find it's not so easy to get back. Make sure if you're leaving, that you're leaving to go to the Lord. This company is one of many Christian companies. I can't say that we're the only company that's right. I can't say that. I have no authority to say that. But I'm very thankful to be where I am. And I'm very thankful to be in a place where the Lord's name is honoured, where his rights are upheld. I'm very thankful to have brethren to walk with who feel like that. Make sure if you're moving for the right reasons, and that you're drawing near to the Lord. To whom shall we go? Well, I go on to Luke 22. This is one of the most affecting verses in Scripture, I think. Peter had said that even if all deny thee, not I. I'm really not here to run down Peter in any way, because he truly believed what he said. He truly believed it. But in his heart, he didn't know what was in his heart. And he actually said here, I don't know him. I don't know him. Mm-hmm. Now, I just ask you the question. Have you ever been in company where the Lord's name has come up and you've kept your mouth shut? Have you ever done that? You're just saying that I don't know him. That's denying the Lord. I've done that. Have you done that? Peter fulfills the word of the Lord, and the Lord, turning round, look at him. Think about of all that had gone before, and his communion with the Lord, and his experience with the Lord in the 3 years that went before, 3.5 years, all that had come between them, we know more about Peter's relationship with the Lord than anyone else's. And the Lord just turns and looks at him. Peter, look what's gone before between us. That was all it took, was a look from the Lord Jesus. What a look that was. Look of condemnation? No. A look of love. A look of love. That's what it was. The Lord loved Peter. And Peter loved the Lord. There was no denying it. Think of the bitterness of soul that he went through as a result of that look. How affecting it is, you know. And you know, you think of the times when you've denied the Lord. Power of heaven comes in on your behalf as you confess the name of Jesus. Let us do it the more often. Let us seek opportunities this week to confess the name of Jesus. We had a sister locally who asked the Lord every morning to give her an opportunity to witness to somebody, and she never missed the opportunity. Didn't matter who it was. As I've said before, you don't know who the Lord's working with. There's a brother in Peterhead was waiting for a bus, and there was a woman standing there, and he heard the Lord say, speak to her, speak to her. And said, to my shame, I never did it. Now that woman died that week without having the opportunity. Maybe the Lord used somebody else, but that brother was smitten that he was told to speak to her, and he never did it. Don't miss an opportunity. It's not your work, it's the Lord's work. The Lord may be working in some heart. Don't deny him, confess him, and find the power of heaven coming in on your behalf. Well, I go to John 21. It's beautiful to see the Lord, the graceful, the tender way that the Lord handled Peter. You know, I don't think it's too fanciful to say that Peter must have known that this conversation was going to come. He'd seen the Lord twice before this, and nothing had said between them. But this is the third time, and the Lord makes him at ease. He dines with him. Look at the tender way that he's handling Peter. Peter's repentant. He's bottomed the thing out completely. But the Lord wants to draw him back. Draw him back to himself. You know, it's possible to be a repentant believer and yet not know full communion with the Lord Jesus. It's possible. So he says to him, Simon, son of Jonas. Son of Jonas. He takes him right back to the Sea of Galilee 3.5 years earlier. Son of Jonas. Takes him back. Maybe you need brought back to the day that you put your faith and trust in Christ. Maybe the Lord knows and you know that you've had a brighter day. He says, I remember for thee the love of thy youth, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. The Lord hasn't forgotten The day that you put your faith in Christ, the day that you confessed your love for Him, He hasn't forgotten. If you've gone away from the Lord, you might have forgotten. David says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He'd lost it. Yeah, we've lost it, haven't we? Sometimes we've lost that joy. The Lord draws him back. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me?" After what Peter had just done, was the Lord not entitled to ask him that? Peter uses a word for love that is lesser than the Lord uses, as if to say, "I can't claim anything after what's happened. I can't claim anything." But the Lord's probing him. "Lovest thou more than these? More than these? Yea, Lord." Self-confidence again. "Yea, Lord." The Lord asks him again and again. Three times Peter denied the Lord. Three times the Lord asks him if he loved him. And the third time he uses the same word as Peter. "Art thou attached to me?" You know, Peter's been drawn back to the Lord. He's been drawn into communion with the Lord. And you know, if you've got away, if you've failed the Lord, He wants to draw you back. He wants you to have you in perfect communion with Himself, to enjoy His love, to enjoy His presence. You know, there's no joy like the presence of the Lord. No joy. "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore." You know, I've tried the human cisterns, Lord. To have Christ in the heart is to have a joy that is constant. A joy that can be... maybe we can lose the currency of, or lose the presence of, but it's there. It's something that can be returned to. Joy of Christ in the heart. And He's just drawing Peter back. And all the time, He's giving him a commission. You see, is Peter reliable? Can Peter be relied upon? The Lord knew his heart. "Thou knowest." Have you ever said to the Lord that He knows what's in your heart more than you do? You ever told Him that? Because it's the truth. He knows what's in your heart. He knows that you love Him. But He also knows what's in your heart that would lead you away. He knows if there's self-confidence there. And in Peter, he's probing and probing and probing until he gets to the bottom. And then he entrusts to Peter the thing that was most precious to him in the whole world. That's what he entrusted to Peter. Peter was a reliable person. Think of how he served in the Acts, you know. Think of how he moved in the power of the Lord and the power of the Spirit. How he took the lead. And people, Peter and John, it was Peter that took the lead. How he served, you know. How he used the keys of the kingdom. How he trusted the Lord. The Lord goes on to show him in John 21 what that committal was to involve. It's not an easy pathway, committing yourself to the Lord, you know. It was to involve his death of martyrdom. But you know, he believed the Lord, even in relation to that. "When thou art old," the Lord said, "when thou art old." Now you think of Peter in the prison, condemned to be executed the next morning by Herod, chained to two big soldiers, and he's sleeping. He's sleeping. He's completely at rest. Angel comes in. The manacles fall off, and he walks straight out of the prison. You know, what experience he had with the Lord and what a servant he was. But you know, I just encourage one another to be sure, first of all, of a living link with such a Saviour. He's a wonderful person, Jesus. And you don't come to that fully when you first trust him. As you go on, you realise just how wonderful he is. And the tender way that he handles us. We're all wayward. We're all wayward. But the Lord wants to draw us back to himself, that we might be in communion with him. That there might be no distance between us and the Lord, you know, while we await his return. How great he is. What we may be called to face, we don't know. It never put Peter off, what the Lord told him here. It never put him off. The Lord's still able for every circumstance. You know, I was hearing of a believer in China. Sorry if you heard this recently, but he was arrested because of his faith. And he was stood up on a chair with a noose round his neck. The idea being that when he tired, he would fall over and hang himself. So anyway, after 3 days, he was still standing. And those who took account of this realised that they were witnessing a miracle. And many of them turned to the Lord. After the 5th day, he fell. And lightning struck the rope and cut it in half as he fell. How great is our Lord? Who knows what we'll be called to face, but he'll be with us. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. That promise is to every one of us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's an all the way home Saviour. May each one of us, myself first, and all of us here, be in living, vital communion with the Lord, for his name's sake.